progress from staying in Vancouver. And I think that Wido is playing a part in, like, providing the infrastructure and, like, the day-to-day and business and logistical support and creative support to navigate the opportunities that we do have and leverage that as best as possible so that an artist can keep their independence and, like, grow roots here. You know, it'd be so discouraging if, like, if we didn't explore what was possible to support artists to, like, you know, even just question how high the glass ceiling is. I think it can be really easy to get kind of brought down by all the things we can't do and all the things we're not. But I'm not as interested in those questions.
Well, and I think, like, limitation is one of the tools of creativity, right? Mm-hmm. Or one of the motivators that, like, well, okay, so yeah, it's way too far it's way too far between potential tour dates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what can we do instead? Like, how can we work around that? And I think that if you think about building community around these artists,
mm-hmm.
That provides more incentive to stay, certainly because you like the community, hopefully, but it also provides potentially some of the resources that can help you to stay,
mm-hmm.
right? And gives you maybe an environment that you can develop to the point that to wherever you want to develop to,
mm-hmm.
without leaving or without, yeah, while still keeping Vancouver as sort of your home base.
Totally. I mean, I have focused on, like, supporting other artists in my work in the last couple of years, but this year feels like a recentering or, like, reprioritizing to be an artist alongside these artists as well. Mm-hmm. because I can talk about, like, sure, the ways that I and the company support artists to make their things happen, but, like, I also have to be part of the case study.
Totally.
Right? I have to, like, make, like, the proof is in the pudding type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the incentives for me, was like, oh, if I can make my thing happen as well alongside these artists, then we're doing something right. So I think there was a few years there since, like, when I first started releasing stuff, and maybe the first releases you've seen of mine, where I focused on, like, the industry kind of back end and all that stuff. But this feels like a full circle moment of, like, okay, this is why I feel good to being an artist now, and this is the reasons why it actually helps the wider community and the company and the industry if I actually try to go in on being an artist.
Well, I think with that too comes the, like, you learn that the love and resources that you give to other artists, mm. they're pretty keen to give back, mm. right? Especially in a community that is, like, really protective of its own, like Vancouver's can be, yeah. right? So there's benefit of, like, coming back and, I don't know, you almost get a chance to see, like, how you fit within that community outside of just being, like, a provider of help.
Yeah, I mean, part of the resources and, like, structures that the company offers are rooted in, like, what I needed when I first started as an artist and still need now.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely a beneficiary of the support as well.
Yeah, I as I was doing my research today, I came across your LinkedIn page, and it's not very often that for when we're doing prep for the show that the LinkedIn page is the place to go, but I think you know, it made sense for you, and you had a post there talking about how you wanted to sort of offer consulting to people, mm. because that resource was not there for you. And I think I think it's great to be able to recognize what it is you would have liked and turn around and be like, okay, how can I help someone else who needs that?
Mm-hmm. When I first got started as an artist putting out, like, a mixtape or a couple of mixtapes, mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, I just want to talk to somebody that's a bit further along than I am.
Yeah.
And, like, as in the industry in their ways. And, like, the couple people that gave me, like, an hour or a couple hours of their time, to this day, I still reference those notes.
Like, yeah.
And I still think back on those things that they taught me then. And I'm like, well, you know, if I can be, if I'm a little bit further along in my ways than on a path that someone else wants to walk as well, like, why wouldn't I, like, also help in that way?
Well, let's circle back to the new album Heat Check.
Yeah.
I mean, we've sort of been talking about it obliquely for the last little bit, referencing it. I wanted to dive into the name heat check.
Mm.
Can you lay out for us what is a heat check?
Yeah. So heat check is a basketball term.
Yeah.
That means or that is used to describe a shot that you take after making consecutive shots in a row to see if you're still hot.
Right.
And typically that shot is ridiculous, is usually ill-advised by some, but probably encouraged by a bunch of your teammates or something. And usually it's like very hard to make.
Sure.
But you're so confident in your abilities that you take the shot anyways. And part of the two reasons that I chose that for the record is that I really wanted to capture what it's like to shoot a heat check shot. this record is really pulling from my time getting into rapping, and also just like my time playing basketball. And there's a specific energy of like the way that I present on a basketball court is very similar to like how I show up as a rapper.
Okay.
Just like, I'm the best. You can't stop me. Like, there's a lot of that kind of energy. And especially when early on in my like rapping journey, I like only knew how to rap about like girls and like being good at rapping.
Hey, I mean, that's like two of the three main topics.
So I use like basketball as like a form and as an arena to explore like present day me having conversations with younger me. And the sound of the songs on the record are the sound of that conversation. The idea is that we're on a court that we used to play at in high school, and 2023 me is playing with like 2008 to 2012 me, and they're just shooting hoops and talking small talk.
I love a concept record. Mm. So very excited to hear the whole thing. Let's hear another track from it.
Yeah.
I think we have Do You queued up.
Let's
Do You. This is Francis Arevalo, Do You, from the new upcoming record, Heat Check.
Magic. They're talking about practice and don't know the half. This is our living room, home court advantage. You're walking your path and finding your balance, trusting your map, challenging rambles, questioning answers straight from the pack. Family, your anchors, because if life is an art, then what are we crafting? What does it mean to be happy? What is a dream without action? You're flipping the script and you're asking, can you really live without acting? Because you cannot spit without dancing. Your life is your canvas, channel your passions, change all the channels, channel the planets, damn it. Be your own living example, keep bumping your drafts. Keep channeling Zach, put wings in your back and things in your bag and sing them some magic. Understand where you're standing, making it stand it, raising the standard, give them a sample. This is resistance, laugh at the system. Make your sandbox, just never build your castle on sandlots. Can't kill kingdoms just by saying lots. Life full of chapters, we are the authors. We got water and air, they're taking in often. Let us pick up on our calling, all of us really have something to offer. There ain't no rain, there ain't no flowers, there ain't no rain.
Where the sign is, you are the love of your life. When you need guidance, look inside it. Come with
compassion, mission of passion, companions to ride with. Community striving to guide you, a compass for the side and summon to remind us. When the fight gets tiring and life starts dying, we're still here and still smiling. We threw a paradise or whatever paradise is. Like if paradise in a paradigm, find there until I find mine. Paradigms in my state of mind. I hope that you know this, all my homies, I hope that you know this. You shine and you got your soul still. Shine, homie, you're on your solstice. Paradise could be wherever you thrive. Oasis could be like summer inside. Find it, wish you rhythm and time and everything aligning.
Mixtape here on CJSF 90.1 FM, CJSF.ca. This is a show that you can stream live every Sunday, and you can also catch the podcasts on CJSF.ca as well as Apple and Google and you know, all those fun places that you get podcasts. That was Do You. Now, Francis, we're talking about the heat check while we're listening to the song, like the concept, and kind of digging into that a little more. This is not the first time that you've referenced this in your music. It looks like one of the earliest releases that you've, or one of the earlier releases that you've had back in 2018, you had the Heat Check EP with a song that had like heat check on it. Now, is this a concept that you're going back to and referencing, or do you find it's like ever present? In general, in some way or another, while you're making music?
Yeah, I think to heat check and just to have that energy of like taking ridiculous shots in the face of poor defenders, I think that's present all the time, or at least it's like latent somewhere in me as I'm, you know, as I need to pull on it to and draw on it when I'm making a certain song. But the actual act of revisiting heat check, like the EP, is that there was so much in that concept and in that story and in who I was at that time, that I it warranted a revisit. And not just a revisit, but like a fully like fleshing out the concept, fleshing out. And also on the EP, I think those are all beats that I bought or got from someone else. Mm. Whereas the album, it's mostly my production. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I wanted to really, really get right. It is like my sound as a musician and as a producer, so that I can create the things that I want to rap over and not have to buy beats from people all the time. Yeah.
I have a real follow-up, but I also have a joke question that I want to ask you. Are you also going to be expanding upon the concept of yourself as Rap's Jim Pattison?
No, we'll leave that. We'll leave that and back at it.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about you know, you've grown as a producer. You've produced most of this album. You also talked about sort of your journey into starting to rap, and how do those two come, like, dovetail? How do those work together?
Yeah. So I started to write raps sometime in early high school. When was it? Yeah, I mean, I definitely love hip hop and rap well before that, but in 2008, I think it was, a friend of mine pulled up a YouTube video of Shad rapping Hot Dog Garbage for like 7 minutes. And I was like, what am I watching? Who the heck is this? And like, that's like, that paired with like Lupe's Food and Liquor album. Oh, yeah. like early like Blueprint kind of Jay-Z times. Like that's what got me curious about like what can I say? Like mm-hmm. I also just like falling in love for like wit and wisdom and wordplay.
Yeah.
Putting that all was just so satisfying. Like I was also a fan and eventually became a spoken word poet as well around that time. I kind of jokingly say this sometimes, but also it's kind of the truth, is like I became a spoken word artist because I didn't have rhythm, so I couldn't rap on beat.
Yeah.
So that's where I like sharpened the pen, not necessarily in like on time.
Well, probably helps being with the performing also, totally. Being up on stage, all that.
Totally, totally. Making every word count.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, through like 2008 to 2014-ish, like I was pretty much like ripping beats off YouTube or like, mm-hmm. or getting sent random USBs from friends just being like, hey, I made this beat, like check this out. But around 2017, I want to say, is when I started to explore what my musical sound would be. And that's part of why this record took so long. And,
sure.
you know, was like, I learned to produce alongside writing the record.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, like, there's certain sounds and feelings and textures that I wanted in my head and that my ear wanted to hear, but I didn't know how to play the instrument or how to sample this way or whatever. So every year I'd be like, okay, I'm working on these projects. Is it ready to release yet? Yes or no? If not, all right, we're going to do it another year. Keep asking myself the same question. And basically by 2022, Heat Check was ready. Mm-hmm. And so it took a long time to get to this point, it feels like. And it feels like an ever evolving journey of like learning production and being a better musician or just a musician that I wanted to be. But this is the first time where it feels like my lyrical ability and vocal ability is matched by the production and musicality, like first year of any year of doing this.
So wait, point of clarification, how much musical knowledge do you have prior to going into like making a run at as an artist? Because like what we're hearing from what you've released already is like pretty like it's like the work of a relatively mature art like musician. Thanks. Who like really understands like harmony and concept and rhythm and things like that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I think, yeah, 2017, like none. Like, or not, I want to say none, but like very little.
That makes me so mad.
No formal training. I mean, yeah, no formal training. I tried to take a music class in university, but
really?
Like, that didn't go very well. I tried to like get some lessons, but I didn't take well to theory. But something that has been present in my life is that I've, like my family would say that like, oh, you have an ear. Like that's where the word oído comes from, is like, that means ear for music.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
They say like, oh, me oído ka, which is like, oh, you have an ear for it. But like, I didn't know how to translate that into playing an instrument or like, or into theory or whatever. So I feel like for all of this time, I've had like a sense of what I wanted to hear, mm-hmm. but not necessarily how to communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2017, 2018, until now was like, yeah, when I learned that.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
But the other side of this too, though, is that like the way that I produce it generally is like I'll take things as far as I can go, which is usually like 70-80%, and then I'll bring in a collaborator to like play that thing way better than I can.
Right. Yeah.
So I can't take all the credit.
Well, yeah. one of the things that we've talked about, and it seems to be like a theme over the last few interviews that we have mm-hmm. done, was like part of like the skill and talent of being a musician, while it is like having the concept relatively mm-hmm. there, like, you know, you want to say, you want to know how you want to say and present it, mm-hmm. but like also being able to articulate it to collaborators is like a difficult thing that a lot of people don't get, and is, I don't know if it's a learned thing, mm-hmm. but it, like, I guess you kind of figured that out.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the maybe like unintended advantage of having to self-produce throughout mm-hmm. lockdown and self-engineer and stuff, was like I got a bit more familiar with certain a certain language, or like what this dial does versus this dial, or like what I wanted my voice to sound like for this kind of song versus this kind of song. And so when I came out of that, those lockdowns, and was working with people again, engineering or musicians or whatever, I developed more of the vocabulary to like better converse with them, to say like, okay, this is what's exactly happening in my head. I can't say it like 100%, but I can say like 90% of it. Mm-hmm. And then that usually that's enough for them to be like, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And that on the other side of that too is other people, like, you could say, you could have like the right vocabulary, but if someone's speaking from a different lens than you, then it almost doesn't matter. Or hearing it from a different lens than you, it doesn't matter what you're saying. It
totally, yeah.
Yeah, so like that goes back to the piece of like the, just having the community. Right collaborators. Yeah, community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and build, and, you know, beyond like them having the same, maybe not the same, but like the right perspective, mm-hmm. Also fostering an environment where you can have that conversation.
Totally.
Right? Or relationships where that's possible.
Totally. Like if we're like we're off slightly in our shared understanding, we can like navigate mm-hmm. to the shared understanding together.
Mm-hmm. I think let's do one more song. Is there another artist you want to feature?
Yeah. I want to shout out Clarita Records. They are, I believe the song I chose was All Right.
Yep.
So they're a duo, like rapper producers. They're when I heard their music for the first time, I was like, I wish I made that. I wish I made that too, and that other thing. And so I'm like, I love you guys. So good.
Great. Let's hear it. This is All Right by Clarita Records here on the Vancouver Mixtape with Francis Arevalo.
No school with it, old stats. What I feel for you is profound. Got me rapping on them soul sounds. You have crazy, this music can take your soul, child. I keep it 100 wet when I'm getting money with shorty like 5 foot. When we kiss, I got a dug this shit. Donuts in the whip, watch my honey dip. We on track with our feels and I'ma run with it. Got me feeling you, got me freaking you. Me and you, I'm singing like Spotty Jodeci. And it's only me when you show me. Nobody else, it's only for Spotty Jodeci. Still rugged, still keep it cold-blooded. The season is getting hot, you gon' need me all summer. It's even in their eyes, you seeing they all love us. It's love, we do it justice. It's just us, baby. Streets ain't no hoes from the Hamptons. Down to South Beach where there's a whole lot of talent. Cruising down the freeway bumping Prince and Millie Jackson. Rappers posing for the gram, oh that's a whole lot of cap, yeah. The type of love that don't cave under pressure. But we done been through all the pain and the stay for the pleasure. Trying to keep a time close just like the face of the bezel. Girl, you amazing forever. I know a thing when it's special, yeah. A real man know that the money comes secondary. Do it for the future and the ones who now dead and buried. It's not a problem I could bump if it's necessary. The type of lawyer that'll front when the cheddar's scary. You see the ball fade, eyes low, yellow skin. Pull up at the gates and pray to God, feeling generous. It's like they wait until you gone for the sentiment. So I stay blessed, yo, y'all know it's us, though.
All Right by Clarita Records here on the Vancouver Mixtape. On CJSF 90.1 FM and online at cjsf.ca. We're joined in studio by Francis Arevalo, whose new album, Heat Check, is out April 27th, which is this month.
How you feeling leaning up to the release here?
You know, a little nervous. Like I said at the top of this, like, it's years in the making, and I think the nerves is actually less about maybe it's less about what the reception will be. Mm. It's more about like, what am I going to do with that time now? I'm not like worrying about this record for years.
Yeah. I'm just used to having this anxiety ball. Yeah, like, just what? Like, yeah. On that note, what are you going to do with all of that time?
I think rest and celebrate.
Yeah.
Rest and celebrate. I think one of the first things I'll do is like gather with the people that I worked on the record with, mm-hmm. just like hang out and like not talk about the record.
right? So what else do you like to do?
Yeah, like what else is there in life? Yeah, you know, like I said, like a lot of these collaborators are my friends first and foremost, and like it'd be nice to have some time with them that isn't like music and or like work focused.
Totally.
Because we spend so much of that time in relationship like that.
Mm-hmm. And that can be fun. But it's fun. It's not just fun.
Totally. Right. Totally. It's like work is all integrated up in there. So yeah, rest and celebrate with my friends.
Nice.
That's the first thing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Do you have shows coming up? Anything we can let the listeners know about?
Not a show. But I am planning a like a listening party talk back thing.
Nice.
Like early summertime. So details TBD, but that is in the works, and I have some special merch collaborations happening with some local businesses.
Nice. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Rock solid tees too, my goodness.
I want to know more. Come on.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we have a little bit more time left.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you think we've missed?
Not really, honestly.
Well, good job, Jesse. We can go home early.
Not really.
Do you want to maybe take this moment to shout out maybe some of the people that worked on this record with you?
Let's see if I can get that list right.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's a little too much. Or maybe just like some other artists in the city that we could have played today.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't get a chance to.
Sure. So some folks on... some folks that kind of address both. So... Desiree Dawson was featured on Do You. She features on another track of mine later in the record as well. She's been doing big things the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and will continue to. She's one of the artists that Oviedo supports. Actually, the next single coming out is like a... basically a choir of like a bunch of my friends, a bunch of my music friends. On that is there's an artist named Mar Emanuel, Kings from Washington, Kimmortal. You're probably familiar with Kimmortal.
Yeah. Song of the Year on the mixtape multiple times. we're familiar.
Yeah. I just feel so lucky that like the people that I get to be in community with also like are down to work on music together. Like it seems like such a basic thing, but I'm trying not to take it for granted.
And it's a privilege for sure.
Yeah. Right? No, for real. I actually also want to shout out, Eugene Chong. He mastered the record. And he's been so like caring and communicative about like what the changes he's making, why he's making them, but like beyond just like taking the record through like the last step before the finish line, which I think sometimes people can see mastering as that.
Sure.
Like he's
sort of like a formality or whatever.
Yeah, just like a so that it meets platform standards or something like that.
Yeah.
Like in working with him, he's really shown me like he's like let me into the process of like why he's making certain choices so that the record like blends together, and I just want to shout that out because this is the first time a mastering engineer has ever walked me through their like philosophy of mastering,
like why their job exists and why they are doing the specific things that they're doing.
Totally. Especially because it seems so like mystical sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like it's so often like you know you produce, you record, you do everything to the album, and then you just send it off across the country and it comes back and you're like, oh, I guess it's mastered now.
Right.
Yeah.
I everyone on the project has like had that kind of like sharing of the process and sharing of their time and like energy so that we're on the same page of like why we're doing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have a favorite track on the new album?
Oh yeah, I do.
It's always pretty quick when we ask that question. Everyone's always just like, oh yeah, absolutely. I know which one's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite track is the last track on the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Get Buckets, another basketball reference. And it's the sound. It's so the lyrics for this were actually written to I can't remember who made that. Basically a beat that I jacked off YouTube in 2013.
Wow.
It's the first thing I ever wrote. First thing like I ever wrote as an artist.
And now,